Amen. We are in 1 Kings chapter 14 and verse 22, where the Bible reads here, "And Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins which they had committed, above all that their fathers had done. For they also built them high places and images and groves on every high hill and under every green tree. And there were also Sodomites in the land, and they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel." And the title of my sermon this evening is Reprobate Pride Month. Reprobate Pride Month, or you can call it a country of Sodomites, okay? Now, we see here in 1 Kings chapter 14 that there's this weak leadership that's taking place, right? He's taken the throne, and he's the son of Solomon, but he's a weak leader. Why is that? Because under his leadership, the country of Judah has gone into wicked abominations. There's not a lot of good things to say about Judah during this time. And we see there specifically that there's specific things that Judah was doing or allowing that made them evil according to the word of God. Now, number one, what was the first thing? Well, first and foremost, it was a cesspool of sin. All right, look at verse 22. It says there, "And Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins, which they had committed above all that their fathers had done." So what is it saying there? You know, the sins that they're committing, they're surpassing the sins that their fathers had done. Right. Okay? And you know what? You can apply that to the United States today, can't you? Where you look at the sins of today, the sins of the of society today, and how the culture is today, it's a lot more wicked than it was 50 years ago. Right. The sins of today are far greater than what the fathers have done 50 years past in the United States, okay? So number one, you see just sin running rampant, and you could say that of the United States today, with all the technology, with the internet, with all the wicked movies that are coming out, the acceptance of just the cesspool of sin, and all the garbage that's coming through Hollywood, we can say, yes, we're living in a cesspool of sin. Amen. A den of iniquity, things that are not pleasing unto the Lord. And just as Judah, we're doing evil on the side of the Lord. Of course, not us, but as a country, we are. But not only that, we see here that they were guilty of pagan idolatry. Look at verse 23 says, "For they also built them high places and images and groves on every high hill and under every green tree." When the Bible talks about high hills, talks about images and groves, it's talking about pagan worship. So this king, who was the son of Solomon, who was the son of David, was permitting idolatry in the land. Which is strange that he's a great-grandson of David, who's a man after God's own heart, yet he himself, maybe he himself is not partaking of that idolatrous worship, but you know what? He's allowing and he's tolerating the idolatry worship in that country right there, which is wicked. And so pagan idolatry is taking place. But out of the three, out of all these things, the thing that they were tolerating the most was the homos. Yeah, right. And just in case, you know, that car right there just blocked out what I just said, and YouTube doesn't understand what I just said, the homos. Amen. The homos were allowed to dwell in the land. Verse 24 says, "And there were also Sodomites in the land, and they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel." We don't have time to go into it, but if you read in Leviticus, the abominations that it's referring to is obviously, number one, sodomy, but also bestiality. All these filthy perversions that those who are reprobates commit. And he said there, they did according to all those abominations. Well, what about this? No, all of them. Okay? So the reason this country, the reason Judah was so wicked during this time, because of the cesspool of sin, the pagan idolatry, and because they're allowing sodomites to just dwell in the land freely. Right. And look, you can say anything you want, but any country that permits sodomy and it becomes the norm, it's an evil nation.
Amen. Right. Amen.
According to the Bible. Yep. Okay. Now go to Ezekiel chapter 16. Now look, that's bad, but I think we're living in worse times. Why is that? Because we're not only allowing sodomites to just dwell freely in the land. Guess what? We're promoting it.
Right. Yeah.
You know, the television promotes it, and it's almost looked kindly upon. People are encouraged to consider this alternative death style. It's not a lifestyle. It's a death style.
Amen.
And not only that, but our country has decided in different states to literally celebrate sodomy for an entire month. He said, why would you want to preach this message? Because we're in June, and June is fag month.
Yeah.
June is the day when we celebrate faggots and faggotry and all the abominations that these reprobates commit. And you know what? And everyone's just like, yeah, you know, gay pride month. There's nothing gay about it.
Right.
Now look, there's very far few and in between churches and pastors who are actually preaching what I'm saying tonight. But you know what? A bunch of people agree with us.
Amen.
Whether you're saved or unsaved. The only difference is they don't got the stones to get up and say it. That's the difference. They don't have the gall, the boldness to get up and say what needs to be said and preach it from the pulpit. They need a spirit-filled man to get up and just say what the Bible says.
Amen.
That this stuff is filthy. And look, if you don't believe me, go on YouTube, the most recent video that they put out of these faggots. And you know what? They have more thumbs down than they have thumbs up.
Right.
Just read the comments and how disgusted unsaved people are at this faggotry.
Right.
It's nothing new. People hate this stuff.
Amen.
Unsaved, normal people hate faggotry.
Amen.
Now, the unsaved people, they might be afraid to say anything about it. You know, I don't know, they're afraid some faggot's going to come and hit them with a purse. But you know what? Christians who are KJV only, Baptist Spirit-filled Christians, are not to be afraid of any of that garbage.
Amen.
Why? Because God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind.
Right.
And the righteous are as bold as a lion, the Bible says. The wicked flee when no man pursue it, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. And we need to, so what if they take your life? Take it. Go ahead.
Amen.
You know, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain.
Right.
You'll do me a favor if you kill me.
Amen.
Maybe my subs will go up even more. Look at Ezekiel 16. And look, they call it Gay Pride Month. How ironic. That they would call this month of sodomy a month of pride.
Right.
Why is that? Look at Ezekiel 16, verse 49. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride. First one.
Yep.
This is the sin. This is the iniquity. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty. What's haughty? That's another word for prideful. And committed abomination before God. Therefore, I took them away as I saw good.
Amen.
You said, what is he talking about? Well, we're going to get into Genesis 19. What taken away means. It's not like he just took them away and just say, hey, just leave. No, he obliterated Sodom and Gomorrah. And you know what the Bible says? He says, that was good. I saw that to be good. And look, this sermon, we need to preach on this more often. Okay,
Amen.
You say, why are you bringing this up now? Because lest you forget where we stand as a church.
Amen.
That we will forever stand against the Sodomites. We will always hate them. We will always preach the reprobate doctrine. And we're not going to rear. Doesn't matter how wicked or how vile this country gets or how much they accept sodomy, we'll never accept it.
Amen. Right.
But the Bible says there that they're, what was their iniquity? Pride. You know, Gay Pride Month. There's nothing gay about it, but there's plenty of pride about it.
Yep.
Okay, they just want to parade their filth and their garbage, and they want to promote it to the children. They want to, and by the way, that's what they want to do. They want to recruit the children. Don't tell me that these people want to love the children and they just want to be kind to the children. No, they want to rape the children is what they want to do.
Right.
If that offends you, then get out.
Amen.
If you don't like what I'm saying, then get out.
Amen.
Leave.
Amen.
Okay, because one thing that we don't need as a church is a bunch of fag sympathizers.
Amen.
We need everyone to be on board with this message and on board with what the Bible says. Well, I got an aunt who's gay. If she's a reprobate, then guess what? She's no longer your aunt.
Amen.
They're dead, twice dead, plucked up by the roots according to the Bible.
That's right.
And look, if you sympathize with these homos, it's because you're watching too much Hollywood, too much television.
Yeah.
You know, you think they're just like the cool, you know, fun-loving, and all. There's nothing cool or fun-loving about it.
Right.
Get rid of your fag buddies.
Yep. Man.
Okay? Huh? I have family members. Get rid of your family members.
Right.
And by the end of the sermon, I don't think you'll be able to disagree with me. If you disagree with me, you're disagreeing with the Bible.
Right.
Because
right.
We're going to show a lot of scripture tonight to prove what I'm saying is true.
Amen. Okay? Amen.
Now, America is in the same condition Judah was thousands of years ago.
Right.
It's twice, yay, I would say 5 to 10 times as bad.
Yeah, right.
Now, where does this stupid month come from? Where does this stupid celebration come from? Well, let me read you this stupid article just to show you where it comes from. The LGBT Pride Month, let God burn them
Amen.
Queers quickly.
Amen.
Give me another cue. is currently celebrated each year in the month of June to honor the 1969 Stonewall Riots in Manhattan. The Stonewall Riots were a tipping point for the gay liberation movement in the United States. In the United States, the last Sunday in June was initially celebrated as Gay Pride Month or Gay Pride Day, but the actual day was flexible. In major cities across the nation, the day soon grew to encompass a month-long series of events. Today, celebrations include pride parades, picnics, parties, workshops, concerts. LGBT Pride Month events attract millions of participants around the world. Memorials are held during this month for those members of the community who have been lost to hate crimes or HIV. What? They're the haters.
Amen.
And look, I want to know why the media, well, obviously I know why, but it's interesting that the media wants to cover every time that a certain sodomite suffers from a hate crime, but they don't show in the media every time they kill someone, right, or they rape someone, or they sodomize someone.
Right.
And look, legally, by unsaved people, that there's a literal crime called the crime of sodomy.
Right.
You look it up. Anytime a child is raped by one of these filthy perverts, they'll use the term, they sodomize them.
Yep.
Guess where they get that from? The Bible.
Amen.
You know what? They got that word from God so that God would not defile your mind to know exactly what it is that they did.
Amen.
You can put two and two together when you hear that term, for that phrase used. But they use that in legal terms all the time. They say they sodomized them, is what they'll say. And then, oh, we're going to celebrate all these homos that died of AIDS. You know what? We're going to celebrate them too.
Amen.
The purpose of the commemorative month is to recognize the impact that lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender individuals have had on history locally, nationally, and internationally. So this stupid month of celebration comes from these idiots that want to celebrate how heroic these people are for sleeping around like dogs and contracting HIV and AIDS. I ain't celebrating that garbage. I'm celebrating that they die.
Yep.
Aren't you afraid they're going to persecute you? Come persecute me.
Amen.
You're not scaring anybody.
Right.
So I have 3 points tonight in regards to this teaching. Number one, we're going to define the terms. Because a lot of people get offended when we use certain terms. You know, like faggot. Like, oh, don't say that. Call them gay. No, faggot.
Amen.
Sodomite. Son of Belial.
Amen.
Okay, we're going to define those terms because I'm not just up here ranting and raving. I'm pissed off at this stuff, but I'm going to show you from the Bible why I am. Okay, so we're going to define the terms. We're going to describe the process of how they got that way because a lot of people are confused by that. They're like, well, you know, does the act of sodomy make them a sodomite? Not necessarily, or a reprobate? Not necessarily.
Right.
Okay, and I'll explain why. And then we're just going to deprogram our view in regards to this. Very important. So go with me, if you would, first and foremost, go to Psalms chapter 12. I want to lay a foundation here for defining the terms. We're going to define why we use the terms that we use, okay?
Amen.
First and foremost, go to Psalms 12. I'm going to read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. The Bible reads here in verse 11, "For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." So what do we have to do in order to understand or have spiritual discernment? We have to use God's words.
Amen.
Okay? Look at Psalms 12, verse 6. "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified 7 times. So the foundation is this. There's no word in the Bible that's filthy, that's dirty. So when we call them a damn reprobate, a filthy sodomite, a vile faggot, don't get offended by that. Those are pure words.
Amen.
You should be like, oh, that sounds so good. It's nice and pure. Yeah, it is pure. There's nothing filthy about it. And any Christian, saved person who gets offended at words like that, you need to get right with God.
Amen.
Now, go to Romans chapter number 1. So word number one is reprobate. Okay? Now, I understand. I think sometimes Christians just throw this word around a little too much. Often it's from like babes in Christ,
right,
you know, where everyone's just a reprobate.
Right.
He was like, oh, yeah, they're just reprobate. Why? Because they closed the door on me when I went soul winning. Oh, because they cussed me out. Like, oh, that dude's reprobate. Yeah, for sure, that dude's reprobate. Everyone's reprobate. Well, let me just teach you something right now. Not everyone's a reprobate.
Amen.
I'm not saying they don't exist. They definitely do exist.
Yeah, right.
But not every unsaved person is a reprobate.
Yeah.
And if that's you who is constantly calling everyone a reprobate, you need to grow up.
Right.
You need to have some discernment. You need to be able to determine who is a reprobate and who isn't, okay?
Right.
Yeah. And that just, look, that's like a harsh word to call someone.
Yeah.
That's why I'm using it so much today,
yeah.
Okay? But it's a harsh word to call someone, even an unsaved person, because you're basically saying that they can no longer be saved,
yeah. Right.
Okay? Because that's what it is. Now, what is a reprobate? A reprobate is someone who is rejected of God,
right.
Okay? You even look on a secular dictionary definition of what a reprobate is, it literally means that they can no longer be saved.
Yep.
It means that they are rejected of God.
Amen.
Okay? And I don't think anybody, not even the people who disagree with us in regards to the Sodomites, I don't think they would disagree with us that the Bible calls Sodomites reprobates.
Amen.
Right? Now look at verse 26. For this cause of Romans 1, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. You know, the Pope came out recently and told some homo, God made you that way. And he loves you. Well, he was only half right.
Right.
You know, he wasn't telling the truth about God loving him because God does not love that homo anymore.
Amen.
Right.
But he did tell the truth when he said, God made you that way.
Yep.
Yeah.
Amen.
Now, I'm sure what he meant was, you know, you were born that way, which is wrong.
Yeah.
But the truth is, God did make him that way. And in fact, it says right there, God gave them up unto vile affections. I think all of us could agree that sodomy is a vile act of affection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the Bible says here, God's the one who gave them up to that.
Yeah.
For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. So this is not just subject to men. Women become sodomites too.
Yep, right.
Women become reprobates as well. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. That's talking about the HIV. That's talking about the AIDS. Okay? And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. So verse 26 and verse 28 are parallel verses. Because it says there in verse 26 that God gave them up to vile affections. That's translated in verse 28 as God giving them up to a giving them over to a reprobate mind. So we can put two and two together and say someone who's given to a reprobate mind is someone who's committing vile affections.
Yep.
So you know what that means? When you see some wicked, disgusting sodomite walking down the street, you can safely assume, oh, that person's a reprobate.
Yeah. Right.
Because they're doing vile things. That shows that this person was giving over to a reprobate mind.
Yep.
Does that make sense to everyone?
Yeah,
so let me just say this, is that not every reprobate is a homosexual,
right,
as of yet. Okay? Now, this entire sermon is not on the entire spectrum of a reprobate, because there are false teachers, false prophets, pastors who are reprobates as well.
Right, right.
They have not yet gotten to the point, maybe even of committing the sins of sodomy, but they will. Why? Because the Bible tells us that that's what God gives them over to. My father-in-law used to say this, it's when God removes the moral compass from your mind.
Right.
Because
yeah.
Every person is born with a moral compass. We know what's right and what's wrong. You know, we find certain things to be vile and disgusting to be a part of. But when you're given over to a reprobate mind, that moral compass is removed.
Right.
For example, a dog does not have a moral compass.
Yeah.
That's why they lick their hinder parts. Okay? They lick their privates. They lick up their own vomit and their crap.
Yep.
You say, well, what are you trying to say? Sodomites do the same thing.
Yep. Right.
They drink their own piss and eat their own dung. And the Bible says there that, first, what? They didn't want to retain God in their knowledge. Therefore, and I'm glad I'm making you make that face, because that's how exactly how you ought to feel at all times when it comes to sodomites.
Amen.
When you hear about something so disgusting, it ought to make you contort your face and say, that's evil.
Amen.
That's wicked. And look, in your mind, you're thinking, how can a person ever do that? You know why you think that? It's because you're saved.
Amen.
A reprobate is just like, that's beautiful. But it says there that even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. So God is the one who gave them over to that. But why is that? Because they didn't want to retain God in their knowledge. We're going to specify what the Bible means by that in just a bit. Go to Jeremiah chapter number 6. This is review for a lot of you, but maybe for many of you it's not. So look, this is what I encourage you to do. If you don't trust me on this, and I'm offending you because, you know, you've got a cousin who's a faggot or whatever, this is what you do. Write down the verses.
Amen. Right.
Okay, don't just read them right now. Write them down, review them later, meditate upon them, and ask God to help you to understand these things, which I think this is very clear.
Amen.
Okay. Jeremiah chapter 6 is where we find the definition of a reprobate. The Bible says in verse 29, the bellows are burned. The lead is consumed of the fire. The founder melteth in vain, for the wicked are not plucked away. Reprobate silver shall men call them, because the Lord hath rejected them. Now, in this context, it's not talking about a sodomite per se. It's talking about a country, a nation who has been rejected of the Lord. But he specifically uses two words interchangeably to define for us what they mean. He says reprobate silver, and then he says the Lord hath rejected them. So reprobate and rejected are used synonymously. They're used interchangeably right there. So when we talk about a person who's a reprobate, we're talking about a person who's been rejected. Okay? Now, you say, well, rejected about what, though? Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I just think they can be reformed, you know? I think we can change them. I've heard of sodomite testimonies. Well, you know what? I don't care. You can bring to me 1,000 sodomite testimonies.
Right.
Thy testimonies, O Lord, are my delight and my counselors.
Amen.
I don't get my doctrine. I don't get my teaching from some faggot testimony that you hear of how they found God and they found Christ and are no longer a sodomite. That's a bunch of garbage.
Amen.
Okay? And let me say this. This is a side note. Any person who comes in here and says that they were a former sodomite, but now they've gotten saved and they're reformed, they're getting the boot.
Amen.
Because we don't believe in that.
Right.
Why? Because thy testimonies, O Lord, are my delight and my counselor. So that means if I have 1,000 sodomite testimonies and one testimony of Romans 1, I go with Romans 1. I don't go with 1,000 sodomite testimonies.
Right.
Now, what are they rejected? Okay, because we say, yeah, they're rejected, they're reprobate. But what is that talking about? Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Doesn't this sound familiar of Romans 1? Truce breakers, false accusers. By the way, false accusers, what does that mean? They just falsely accuse people. That's what that means. And we don't even have time. There's a phrase that's used to define these reprobates. It's called the sons of Belial.
Amen.
In fact, sons of Belial, from what I remember, is used far more times than even reprobate or even sodomite is used. But they're all used interchangeably. Sons of Belial are found throughout the Bible. And one of the characteristics of a son of Belial is that they're there to literally falsely accuse people. If you guys remember, who's the vineyard? I'm trying to think of the vineyard. You guys remember that? What was that wicked guy's name who wanted the vineyard? You guys remember that story? Ahab, okay? And the Bible talks about how Jezebel hired sons of Belial to falsely accuse the owner of the vineyard so that people can take him out and stone him. Okay? And you see throughout the Old Testament that many times these sons of Belial are brought in to falsely accuse people. Okay? Because they're liars. The Bible says they're full of deceit in Romans 1. It says, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. You guys know anything about that? You know, they're despisers of things that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Keep that in mind. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Okay, just like in Romans 1 where they didn't want to retain God in their knowledge, right here it says that they resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, a reprobate mind. Then it says this, reprobate concerning the faith. So what is another word for faith? What? Belief, right? It means to believe. So the Bible says here that they are reprobate, they are rejected. Remember, because reprobate means rejected. They are rejected concerning the ability to believe.
Yep, right.
That means a sodomite cannot be saved.
Amen.
They've been the reprobate mind won't allow them to believe.
Yep.
They don't want to believe. They won't believe. And this is where I find so interesting, because a lot of these people, these Christian sodomite sympathizers, what they'll say is, you know, they'll believe that it's by belief only, right? They'll say, yeah, that's the way you get saved. Once saved, always saved, only believe. But then when you start getting to the topic of the sodomites and if they can be saved, they'll say, well, what if they turn away from that, though?
Yeah.
It's like, wait, hold on a second. I thought it was by belief only.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Why is it that the sin of sodomy is the exception to that rule? You know why? Because they realize how disgusting and vile it is too.
Yep, yep.
And they can't bring themselves to think that this person would be a Christian and still commit the sin of sodomy.
Right, good.
You know, it's easier and it's more biblical to just accept, well, this person can't be saved.
Amen.
Go ahead and commit all your wicked sodomy.
Right.
You'll pay for it in the end. These people can't be saved. And we have a verse right here.
Yep. Yeah.
So answer me this, O thou faggot lover. Why does it say reprobate concerning the faith? If the Bible says that for by grace are you saved through faith,
right,
and that not of yourselves, that is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If it's by faith only, why does the Bible say that they're reprobate concerning faith?
Amen.
It means because they can no longer believe. That's why.
Right.
And look, it's not like God just said, no, I'm not going to let you believe. I'm not going to let you. No. They rejected God first, because the Bible says that they didn't want to retain God in their knowledge.
Yep.
They rejected him. And it says right there, you say, well, and here's the most common thing that I always hear too. Well, what if they're looking for the truth? You know, what if they want to be saved? It says right there, they resisted the truth.
Yeah, right.
You see, this is part of the process, and I'm getting ahead of myself here. The process is this: they resist the truth, they become a reprobate.
Amen.
So once they become a reprobate, he's like, well, you know, I know this person though, and they're looking for God, and they're disgusted with themselves. Well, they should be disgusted with themselves.
Right.
But the Bible tells us there in verse number 7, ever learning.
Yep.
They can get all the Christian books they want, listen to as many sermons as they want, but the Bible says there that they're ever learning, and they're never, never
Amen.
Able to come to the knowledge of the truth, the Bible says.
Amen.
When does never end? Never. Never able. So you can pray for that person all you want. Oh, God, save this person. God's going to be like, I've already saved the place for them. They're already reserved.
Yeah.
We're going to look into just a little bit what that means.
Amen.
But it's pointless. Why? Because they're never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, if you believe sodomites can be saved, explain that verse to me then.
Right.
What does it mean that they're never able to come to the knowledge of the truth? What truth? What does it mean when it says that they're reprobate concerning the faith? Now, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, because if that doesn't convince you, I don't know what will, but I got a really good verse here that'll show you something real good. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Verse 5 of 2 Corinthians chapter 13 says, examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Thank you, Paul, for writing this part right here. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. So what is it telling us here? If you have Christ in you, you're not a reprobate. But if you're a reprobate, you can't have Christ in you.
Right.
I think that's pretty easy to tell, right? He says, look, Jesus Christ is in you, unless you're a reprobate. Why? Because reprobates can't be saved.
Amen.
And saved people have the Lord living within them. The hope of glory, the Bible says. So according to this verse, if someone has Christ in them, they can no longer be reprobates. Why is that? Why do you say that? Simply for the fact that there's a false teaching out there that teaches that Christians can become reprobates. And this teaching stems from the false doctrine that pornography makes you a homo. Or just getting involved in Hollywood's videos and all these things, and just your moral decline leads you to being a homo. That's not true.
Amen.
You become a homo by rejecting the Lord.
Yep, right.
Okay? Now, go to Titus chapter 1. So we're defining the first word here, okay? And I need to hurry up, because I got a lot more words that we need to go over. Titus chapter 1 verse 15 says, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. Just like we see in Romans 1, right? Just like we just saw in 2 Timothy chapter 3, right? They have corrupt minds. They profess that they know God. You know, they give those testimonies.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
I know God. God changed my life.
Right.
I no longer want men, you know. I got married and I have children and I slept with 500 men prior to this. But hey, you know, I know God. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate, the Bible says.
Amen.
So don't be fooled by this. What does reprobate mean? It means someone who's rejected of the Lord, according to Romans 1. Okay? It means someone who's reprobate, rejected concerning the faith. They can no longer believe. Now, what's the second term that I want to define? Sodomite. Okay, go to Genesis chapter 19. What is a sodomite? A sodomite is someone who engages in sodomy. And I'm not gonna give you the details of that because I'm trying to spare you from defiling your mind. Okay. But Genesis 19 highlights a city, and this is where that term comes from. All right? And look, like I said, our secular world uses this term. My wife just heard it on the radio of some guy who was caught for sodomizing a little girl. They use the word sodomize them. That's the appropriate word to use. Okay. Now, Genesis 19 is where we find this. You won't find the word sodomite in Genesis 19, but you'll find why they call them sodomites.
Amen.
Genesis 19 verse 1 says, "And there came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot seeing them rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did break unleavened bread, and did eat." So this is talking about the angels. If you remember in Genesis 18, what we read in this morning, When Jesus says to the angels, he said, "Should I reveal unto Abraham what I'm going to do?" He's talking about destroying Sodom. So these are these angels that are coming here, okay? And they're not coming to eat. They're coming to rescue Lot and his family because they're about to just demolish Sodom, okay? Verse 4, "But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young." Keep that in mind. So it says both the old dudes and the young dudes compass the house. I mean, compass means they surrounded the house at night. All the people from every quarter. So this is like the entire city's there. Verse 5, "And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them." Now, God is very gracious to us to not defile our minds by using strong language. But let me just define for you what it means to know them. Well, the Bible says that Adam knew his wife, and then she conceived. So to know them means to have a physical relationship with a person. But here's the thing. That is only intended between a married man with a married woman. Okay? But here we see that men, both old and young, are surrounding this house, and what do they want to do? They want to know the angels physically. Now, this is a side note here, but you guys understand that sodomites can't have babies. So the way they're able to continue their wickedness into every generation, what they do is they recruit people. That's how they get members. They recruit them. So how do they recruit them? By molesting children. How can you put homosexuals in the same camp as pedophiles? Where do these young people come from? The Bible says old and young. They can't have kids. Where are these young people who are sodomites coming from? They got recruited. They got molested is what happened. You don't believe me? Look at the stupid old IFB churches that are housing these wicked pedophiles. You know, and they're producing these Bible colleges like North Valley Baptist Church and Golden State Baptist College are producing all these faggots. Why is that? Because they're being recruited by these wicked old pedophiles.
Right.
Yep. Yeah. It says it right there. Verse 6, "And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you. And do ye to them as good as in your eyes, only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. Now, Lot is insane.
Amen.
What the heck is wrong with this guy? He's like, take my daughters. What? Verse 9, and they said, by the way, that's what happens when you live in San Francisco, whatever you want to call it. Your mind becomes warped as well. Okay. Verse 9, and they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn. He will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them? Man, that's, what do you mean worse? Can it get any worse? And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness. So they just bam, they just smote. I don't know what that looked like. Just shot them with light and they're just blind. So when you're blind, you know, if you can't see anything, you know, for me, it's just like if I ever go blind, it's like, man, I need to find someone to help me to get back to my house, you know. Or, you know, but look, what do they do? Both small and great, so that they weary themselves to find the door. So they're blind, and you know what they're doing? Let's still try to get through that door. You say, how can a person? Because they're vile, wicked people.
Right. Yep.
The Bible says that they're laden with sins. The Bible says that they have eyes full of adultery. They cannot cease from sin. Right. Romans 1 says that they burn in their lust one toward another. Well, that's what it looks like. They, even though they're blind, they're groping for the door to get to these men. Look at, skip down to verse 24. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the city and that which grew upon the ground. Man, he even destroyed that which grew upon the ground.
Amen.
Even the vegetation, he's like, I don't even want that. That goes to show you, don't ever eat food that comes from a sodomite.
Amen.
God even destroyed that. My wife was telling me that my mother-in-law, you know, they had some sodomite in their family, and that sodomite would always give them like cakes and stuff. And my mother-in-law would say, don't touch that garbage. We're throwing it away.
Amen.
Every
Amen.
Single time they sent them food, she'd throw it away. Why? Because even God said, I don't even want the vegetation to live from these wicked people. Verse 28, and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain. Behold, lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. Now, go to 1 Kings chapter 14. 1 Kings chapter 14. So anybody who says that God loves these people, they obviously haven't read Genesis 19. Because you don't burn someone vehemently with fire whom you love. You don't do that to someone you love. Okay? I mean, that's like... Now, let me ask you a question. Do you believe that all the people in Sodom and Gomorrah, other than Lot, died? Yeah, they did, right? Yeah. I mean, not even the vegetation survived.
Yeah, man.
You know, they say that cockroaches are the only thing that will survive a nuclear bomb. I don't even think the roaches survived in Sodom and Gomorrah.
Amen.
Okay, completely desolate, destroyed, not there anymore. But look at 1 Kings 14, 24. And there were also Sodomites in the land. And they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. Now, 1 Kings in 14 is taking place long after Genesis 19.
Right.
So if everyone from Genesis 19 was destroyed, who are these people? And why is the Bible calling them Sodomites? Is it because they came from Sodom? No, it's because they're Sodomites, they're faggots.
Yeah. Right.
They're committing the sin of sodomy. So God relates those who commit the sin of sodomy with sodomites.
Right.
Yes,
right.
It's like that's what they are. We obviously understand that those in Genesis 19 were destroyed, but you know what? The sin of sodomy has existed even after that, up until today. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 23. 2 Kings 23, in verse 7, speaking of Josiah, says, and he break down the houses of the sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove. I think it's actually referring to the women being sodomites.
Right.
Okay? But the Bible says there that this righteous king, Josiah, he broke those houses down.
Amen.
You know, but what do we have today? A president that just glorifies these homos.
Yeah.
With his vice president, you know, talking about how great those ambassadors to wherever, how great they are. No, you need to break down their houses is what you need to do.
Amen.
Now, go to Deuteronomy chapter 13. So the reason they're called Sodomites is because that term Sodomite is basically in relation to the act that they commit.
Right.
The old and the young wanted to know those angels. They wanted to sodomize them. Therefore, any person who's involved in that type of wickedness is considered labeled as a sodomite. Yep. Okay? So these sodomites that are out here in Hollywood, they're not from Sodom. But they are sodomites.
Right.
Because they're involved in that wicked sin. So the first term is reprobate. Why do they call them reprobates? Because they're rejected of the Lord. The next term is sodomite. Why do they call them sodomite? Because of the sin of Sodom in Genesis chapter 19 and thereafter. But another term that the Bible refers to them as is the sons of Belial.
Yep.
Now, what does that mean? It means a child of the devil is what that means.
Yep.
Now, who's Belial? Well, it's not a person. It's a devil is what it is. The first time this is mentioned is in Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 12. It says here in verse 12, if thou shalt hear say in one of thy cities, which the Lord thy God hath given thee to dwell there, saying, certain men, the children of Belial, are gone out from among you and have withdrawn the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which ye have not known. Then shalt thou inquire and make search and ask diligently. And behold, if it be truth and the thing certain that such abomination is wrought among you, thou shalt surely smite the inhabitants of that city with the edge of the sword, destroying it utterly and all that is therein and the cattle thereof with the edge of the sword. So what is a son of Belial? Is a devil worshiper. Because the first time it's mentioned is in Deuteronomy chapter 13, where it says, if anybody says to you, hey, let's go worship other gods,
right,
tries to get the inhabitants of the city to go worship devils, he says, that's a son of Belial.
Yep.
Now, I mentioned this before, but these sons of Belial, that phrase is used multiple times in the Bible. Look, go home and look up every time that thing is mentioned. It's never good.
Amen.
Go to 1 Samuel chapter 25. So these aren't Christians. I just want to clarify that, okay? Now, at one point, there's even sons of Belial who were in the land of Israel with the Israelites. But you know what? It's the same today, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's men who creep in unawares to churches, who privily bring in damnable heresies. These are sons of Belial.
Amen.
So number one is that they are devil worshippers, but number two, they're also implacable, as Romans 1 would say. Look at 1 Samuel 25, verse 13 says, and David said unto his men, gird ye on every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword. And David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. Why? Because sons of Belial are railers. Verse 15, but the men were very good unto us, and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything, as long as we were conversing with them when we were in the fields. They were a wall unto us both by night and day, and all while we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore, know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him. So what is it saying? He's implacable. He's saying, no one can talk to him. No one can talk any sense into him.
Yep.
A characteristic of a son of Belial is someone who can't be placated.
Yep.
I lived next to a sodomite, and she was this flaming dyke. And, you know, people try to be nice to her, but I wasn't, to be honest with you. Why? Because you can't placate that woman.
Yes.
She's a devil.
Right.
So you're wasting your time when you're trying to appease these freaks. Why don't you just stand up to them?
Amen.
And go, come on!
That's right. Amen.
You know, the reason people try to placate them is because they're afraid of them.
Right.
We need God's people to stop being afraid of the faggots.
Amen.
And fear God more.
Amen.
And say, you want to fight us? Come on, bring it on then. You want to protest our church? Go ahead.
Amen.
Do the worst you can do. You're not scaring anybody.
Amen.
Right.
Oh, we'll harass you. We'll death threats. Bring it all.
Amen.
Do whatever you got to do. You ain't scaring nobody, Roach.
Amen.
Right.
But you know what? We have too many Christians. Oh, we're just so scared of the Sodom. What if they come do something? What are they going to do?
Right.
Why are you afraid of dying?
Amen.
Why do you fear death?
Right.
You know, if we're saved, guess what? We'll never die.
Amen.
We are invincible. But what if they kill my body's coming back anyways.
Amen. All right.
at the resurrection. I'm waiting to wait the redemption of my body.
Amen.
So why are you afraid of dying?
Amen.
Right.
You know, don't hold your life dear unto you. And the less you care about living, I'm talking about living as far as your life is concerned, the more bold you become in the things of God, the more you can, you have the liberty to fear God as you ought to.
Amen.
Because look, God, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God.
Amen.
And that's for Christians. We got to fear God more than these freaks and these homos.
Amen.
It says there, but they cannot be spoken to. You can't appease them. You won't appease them. Okay? Now, by the way, a side note here. Abigail is a godly woman. But guess who she married? A reprobate.
Yeah.
You know? And that happens sometimes. Even in today's culture where Christian women, they marry these reprobates and they're like, I got to get a divorce. Well, you know what? God actually kills her husband.
Right.
And actually gives her a godly husband after that.
Amen.
Okay? So, yeah, David. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 2. So they can't be placated. So you have one of two choices when it comes to the Sodomites. Either bow down to them and, oh, God loves everyone. We don't agree with their lifestyle. You know, it's sin. It's bad. But you know what? You know, we got to love everyone. No, we don't.
Amen.
I ain't got to love them. Right. I don't gotta be nice to them. Don't bring a faggot in here.
Amen.
By the way, don't bring no fag visitor to our church either.
Amen.
Okay? You have some cousin or some aunt who's a faggot, they're not welcomed here.
Amen.
Period. And if after this you bring them, guess what? After the first and second and third admonition, they get the boot.
Amen.
What admonition you get? Get out. Yep. No homos allowed. Get out, no homos are allowed. Get out, no homos are allowed. Everyone get them. And they get
Amen.
Thrown out.
Amen.
No homos are allowed in this church.
Amen. That's right.
Even if it's your family member.
Yep.
Amen.
Why? Because they're haters of God. Why do we want a hater of God in our church service?
Right. Right.
And look, we have children here.
Yep. Amen.
But the next characteristic is that they don't know the Lord. Look at 1 Samuel 2:12. It says, now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord, the Bible says. Okay? Go to Judges chapter 19. So yeah, but how are you saying that the sons of Belial, you're comparing them to homosexuals and sodomites? Weren't we all at one time sons of the devil? No, we weren't.
Nope.
Yeah,
right.
We were the children of wrath, children of disobedience, but a son of the devil is something a lot worse.
Amen.
Now, here's another characteristic of a son of Belial. They were sodomites.
Yep.
Understand this. Now, you look, I think God really wants us to understand this because he put a story about the sodomites in Genesis chapter what? Right? And just in case you didn't get it, he put it in Judges chapter what?
19.
Look at Judges chapter 19, verse 22 says, now as they were making their hearts merry, behold, the men of the city, this sounds familiar, certain sons of Belial beset the house round about and beat at the door and spake to the master of the house, the old man, saying, by the way, so, well, he said, well, hold on a second, but it doesn't say the sodomites or anything like that. It just says sons of Belial. Okay, well, let's see what they want. Maybe they're trying to witness to them. Bring forth the man that came in into thine house, that we may know him. Mm-hmm. Sound familiar? And the man, the master of the house, went out unto them and said unto them, nay, my brethren, nay, I pray you, do not so wickedly, seeing that this man is come into mine house, do not this folly. Behold, here is my daughter, a maiden. You idiot. What's up with these people? And his concubine, them will I bring out now, and humble ye them, and do with them what seemeth good unto you, but unto this man do not so, what, vile a thing. What is he talking about? The sin of sodomy. That's vile. But the men would not hearken to him, so the man took his concubine and brought her forth unto them, and they knew her, and abused her all the night until the morning. And when the day began to spring, they let her go. So before you even think, well, you know, gay people, they don't like girls. If they're a guy, they don't. No, they go both ways.
Yep.
Because we don't have that moral compass. You'll screw anything that walks.
Yep.
Yea, even animals.
Right.
If that wasn't true, then why would God put in that, in the law, this matter of bestiality?
Right. Yeah.
Because when your moral compass is removed, you'll sleep with anything.
That's right.
And look, they wanted the man. But guess what they had to settle for? The woman. Now go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. Verse 14. The Bible reads here, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." Verse 14. "For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord?" Concord means agreement. "What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Or what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you. Ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." So he's making a contrast. That means you can't be of Christ and be a son of Belial.
Amen.
They have no agreement. They don't go together. So don't tell me that this faggot who has some godly testimony that he, you know, got his life right or whatever, and he's not sleeping around like he used to. No, what he means is this. He no longer has opportunities as he used to.
Yeah, yeah.
Is what that means. You know, I know some dyke who's like in their 80s. You know, she's like, "Oh, I'm not a sodomite anymore." You know what that means? She can't move around as she used to be able to molest people.
Yeah,
that's what
right.
That means. She doesn't have the opportunity to do so. Now, the Bible also calls them dogs. Okay, we won't get too much into that. But why do they call them dogs? Because the Bible refers to them as beasts. Okay, and the Bible specifically warns us in Philippians, beware of dogs. And he calls them evil workers. Why do they call them dogs? Because they do that which is unnatural, that which is not convenient. Now, go to Jude chapter 1. You say, yeah, you mentioned reprobates. You mentioned, you know, sodomites. You mentioned sons of Belial, but that dirty little word you say, faggot, I just don't know about that word. You know, I think that's inappropriate. That's not in the Bible, Brother Bruce. But here's the thing. We need to use words also that define biblical concepts and doctrine. For example, Trinity is a great word. That's not found in the Bible, but you know what? The concept and the teaching of the Trinity is.
Amen.
And when we talk, when we use the word Trinity, it really opens up the scope of that definition of what we're talking about. For example, Bible's not even found in the Bible.
Yeah.
You guys know that? It's not found in the Bible.
Right.
But guess what? When I say Bible, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Amen.
Okay? There's plenty of words that we use that are not found in the Bible, but they define very good what we're talking about. Well, faggot is one of them. Because look, faggot, if you look it up, it's simply a bundle of sticks that are tied together to be burned. And in fact, I believe in Europe, that's what they call cigarettes.
Yep.
You know, they say, "Can I get a fag?" You know, and they burn it up. That's what they do. Okay? Now, you say, but what does that have to do with sodomites? Okay, Jude 1, 7. "Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire." So you know what we're calling them? We're just calling them a bundle of sticks.
Yep.
That God is going to burn one day.
Amen. Yep.
He's going to light them up.
Yep.
So there's nothing wrong with calling them faggots or fag. That's what they are. They're a bundle of sticks that are going to be burned one day.
Amen.
Okay. Now, I understand people sometimes don't understand that, or they use the word faggot and they don't even know the definition, but that is a biblical definition. And faggot very much defines in a clear manner what is being spoken about here. And look, don't be one of these people where it's just like you want to be politically correct all the time.
Right.
Okay? I want to be biblically correct.
Amen.
Okay? Oh, yeah. I'm against the homosexuals, but you shouldn't call them homo. Homo is just a shorter word for homosexual.
Right.
Fag, you know what I'm talking about when I talk about fags.
Yep.
Because if I say sodomite, you know what I mean. I'll just say fag. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yep.
Now, another one is queer. Okay, queer just means strange. Why? Because they go after strange flesh.
Right.
And I won't go too much into that. Now, go back to Romans chapter number 1. So now I'm going to describe the process. And I basically took the whole sermon just to define the terms there. But this is important, describing the process. Because this is where people get hung up on big time. And I don't know why people get hung up on this. When I was shown the truth, I just believed the King James Bible. And I assimilated my thought process to what the Bible says.
Amen.
Okay? But I've met people who just get hung up on this. And they just cannot get over the fact. They'll say, well, what if this sodomite trusts Christ as their Savior? But you're getting the process wrong.
Right.
It can't be done. Now, let me explain to you. And I said this a couple weeks ago, but I think it illustrates the point very well. If you were to walk by a tree and there's no fruit on that tree, you can't tell what kind of fruit tree that is. But you know it's a fruit tree. You walk by in a couple weeks or whatever, and you begin to see apples forming out of that tree. You would automatically say, oh, okay, that was an apple tree that I was looking at 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
So that tree was always an apple tree. Has always been an apple tree since it was planted. It was an apple tree.
Yep.
Not an orange tree, not anything else. It was an apple tree. When you saw the fruits blossoming out of that tree, then you were able to determine, okay, now I know that it's an apple tree. It didn't just become an apple tree. It's been an apple tree. It's just now I can see what it really was. That's how the reprobate doctrine works. When you see someone who's a flaming faggot, you know, they're wearing the rainbow colors and they're just prideful to be a sodomite, they're committing the sin of sodomy, it's not like, oh man, that guy's committing sodomy, he needs to get saved. No. It means, oh, okay, that person has been rejected of the Lord.
Right.
Okay. Now look, there's reprobates out there that you don't know they're reprobates.
Yeah.
And you can't really tell if they're reprobates or not. You know, false teachers and just people, just atheists who are reprobates, they've rejected the truth. But once they become a reprobate, now they're on that downward spiral, and eventually they will commit the sin of sodomy because their moral compass has now been removed. Okay, so you need to change your way of thinking where it's like you see some sodomite, you're like, I should go witness to them. Don't cast your pearls before dogs or swine. If you see one, just check it off. Okay, that person has been rejected of the Lord because they're committing the sin of sodomy. That's proving that they've been rejected of the Lord. So, but also let me say this. Committing the sin of sodomy doesn't make you a reprobate. Let me make this very clear because people get confused about this as well. There's people who think, well, you know, someone who got involved in the sin of sodomy, you know, they're a reprobate. Not necessarily.
Right.
Okay? And check this if you need to.
Amen.
But this is fact. Peer pressure often is involved in that. You know, people who go to parties and they get drunk and they get raped. Or they have some perverted boyfriend who wants them to get involved in some wicked sin of lesbianism or whatever. They're disgusted with it. Okay? But that doesn't mean they're a reprobate. Because here's the difference. The difference is this. The Bible tells us that sodomites burn in their lust one toward another. That means that's what they want. They're satisfied by committing those acts. Whereas people who are peer pressured into doing those things, that disgusts them. Okay? And look, sometimes people are peer pressured because of the music, because of Hollywood, whatever it may be, or they were just molested or raped. And they're a little confused, but that doesn't make them a reprobate. Okay. Now, what makes a person a reprobate? This is what I believe makes a person a reprobate, or this is the first step. Don't lose this. What did we say before? How do sodomites recruit? By what?
Molestation.
By molestation. Okay. When someone gets molested, they get bitter. And often they get bitter towards God. Okay. Now, when that person gets molested and they become bitter towards God, I believe God does send them a soul winner. When God sends them a soul winner, they have one of two choices. They're either say, no, I hate your God because he allowed me to get molested. And at that point, I believe they become a reprobate.
Right, yeah.
Because they've rejected the truth. And because they rejected the truth, they're like, your God allowed me to get molested. And they become bitter towards God. They become a hater of God. Or they can say, they can find solace and comfort in the fact that God loves them. They get saved. And guess what? They can no longer become a reprobate.
Right.
Okay. They recognize, and by the way, they recognize the love of God, the justice of God. And if they're in a good Bible-believing Baptist hellfire damnation preaching church, that pastor will tell them, hey, that person who molested you, they're going to burn in hell. They will never experience the salvation that you got.
Amen.
So here's your vengeance that you will have one day is that person is going to rot in hell where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not.
Amen.
He will suffer the consequences of his disgusting, vile, actions towards you. You know what that does? That comforts people.
Amen.
Because people who become reprobate and they get bitter towards God, it's because they're in stupid churches who say, you need to forgive your pedophile. You know, you need to love that person, and that person needs the Lord. And they're like, why would I want to be a part of some stupid religion that it wants me to forgive some wicked faggot? And then they become, thanks, son. They want... No, they need to be a part of a church that says, hey, that person who molested you, they're going to burn in hell.
Yep. Amen.
And they can no longer be saved. Yep. That creates a sense of justice in someone to say, wow, what a loving God.
Amen.
Because this hurt me. This damaged my soul. And you know what? God saw it, and he's not going to allow it to go unpunished.
Amen.
You know, there's a lady who was talking to her daughter, and her daughter was molested, and she said, you know, that person's dead right now. And he's burning in hell.
Amen.
Just want to let you know that. That creates comfort. Oh, you're so vile for saying that creates comfort. Get out of here, you fag lover.
Amen.
Get out of here, fag. Turn off the YouTube channel, you fag lover. If you don't like what I'm saying, click out.
Right.
Unsubscribe. Right. Hit the thumbs down.
Good.
Do whatever you want. If you don't like what I'm saying, then go to some other channel.
Right.
Go to Paul Chappell's channel then. Go to North Valley Baptist Church YouTube channel where they sympathize with those faggots.
Yep.
Not here.
Amen.
But that's where it starts. They become bitter, and then they reject the truth, and then they're given over to a reprobate mind. That's how it happens. Okay? So don't get confused about this entire thing where it's just like, yeah, but what if I saw some... You're getting it wrong.
Yep.
It's not like you see some sodomite and they're like, they have a potential to be saved. No, the fact that they're sodomized shows that they've already been rejected of the Lord. They can no longer be saved.
Right.
And it's a good thing. Why? Because the Bible tells us that there are predators.
Yep.
They will spend their entire life hunting that precious life. Children and innocent people. The sooner the dead, the better.
Amen.
Right.
I don't grieve. When you hear about these shootings where they kill some sodomite that did it in El Monte, they're like, oh, they killed that faggot. That's good. Good.
Amen.
That's a good thing. You know, when you want to persecute me for saying that, I can say whatever I want. I live in a free country, but not only that, God has given me the liberty to say what I can say from the Bible.
Amen.
You know, and you, if you're so mad at what I'm saying, why don't you get mad at what all these filthy perverts say and how they hate Christians?
Yeah. Right.
But no. It's because you're afraid of him as well.
Amen.
So look at Jude. Go to Jude. Sorry. Go to Jude 1. Finish off right here. So according to the Bible, reprobates, sodomites, they're already blotted out of the book of life.
Amen.
Okay. And God has saved them. God has saved them. Look at Jude 1:12 says, these are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Why does it say twice dead? Because for the wages of sin is death, the Bible says. And then the Bible talks about in Revelation chapter 20, verse 14 through 15, talks about the second death. So the first death is referring to hell, which is at the center of the earth. The second death is referring to the lake of fire, where death and hell are relocated to. So no one's in the lake of fire right now.
Yep.
Everyone who's ever died, who's rejected Christ, they're not saved. They're in the center of the earth right now.
Right.
But one day they will all be relocated to the second death, which is called the lake of fire. Well, the Bible says here that they're twice dead. This is talking about people who are not even dead yet physically.
Yeah.
And he says they're twice dead. That means they're basically, God sees them as though they're already in hell. In fact, he goes even further than that, and he sees them as though they're already in the lake of fire.
Yep.
Twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Look at verse 13. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever.
Amen.
What's the blackness of darkness? That's referring to the lake of fire.
Amen.
What is another word for reserved? Saved.
Yep.
So yeah, he saved them. He's saving a spot for them. He's reserving a place for them in hell. They got a name there waiting for them and everything.
Amen.
VIP
yep.
section.
Amen.
They get a fast pass
right.
is what they get. Okay? Look, and if you ever meet anybody who ever was defiled by someone, show them that verse.
Amen.
So I just want to let you know, God has reserved a place for them. And, you know, we got to pray that they die soon so they can get there quicker.
Amen.
But the Bible says there that he's reserved a place for them. So they can't be saved? No. They can't. I'll go to this last verse. Go to John chapter 12. Can they be reformed? No. The Bible says they have eyes full of adultery. They cannot cease from sin. The Bible says in 2 Peter 2:17, these are wells without water, clouds that are carried with the tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. And you say, I can't believe you say that you believe that, you know, if one person believes, you know, they can be saved, but all of a sudden for homosexuals, they can't be saved? Yeah, because people can get to the point where they can no longer believe. And the most loving, most understandable book in the Bible is the book of John. Wouldn't you agree?
Amen.
And look what the book of John says in chapter 12, verse 40. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes. Who had blinded their eyes? God.
Amen.
Why? And hardened their heart. Why? That they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. Look, God is saying here, because they didn't believe on him, they rejected him, God blinded them so that they could not believe. Isn't it interesting that the book of John is the book that believe is used the most?
Right?
It's the greatest gospel presentation that you can give to someone. Is just believe. I mean, it hammers it in every single chapter. In the entire book, just believe, believe. But then you have this in chapter number 12. They can't believe. Why? Because God had blinded their eyes.
Amen.
Now, at the end of this, after you just heard that, I mean, that should be enough right there. If you don't believe what I just said, then you don't believe the Bible.
Amen. Right?
I just think God loves everyone. He just said right there, it's not loving to blind someone so they can't believe.
Right, yeah, right.
Right? It's not loving to blind someone so they can't believe and be converted and that God should heal them.
Right.
But if you don't believe that, then you're rejecting the gospel of John, you're rejecting the Bible. Because he says right there, he blinded them.
Amen.
So that they could not believe. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
So what's the sermon today? The sermon today is this. We're celebrating the month of June for all the faggots who have ever died because of HIV.
Amen.
But not just that. We're celebrating this month because it's the Lord's month.
Yep.
Right.
Okay. And we're reinforcing what we already believe in this regard.
Yeah.
So don't get mad if we use reprobate. Don't get mad if we use sodomite. Don't get mad if we say faggot or queer. These are biblical terms. These are biblical words that we need to use. And look, and thank God, more pastors are rising up.
Amen.
We're multiplying.
Yes.
So if you want to stop one of us, you're going to have a hard time because there's more of us coming out.
Amen.
And guess what? We're all saying the same thing.
Amen. Right.
So stick that in your pipe and smoke it.
That's good.
Amen.
Because we're not going to stop.
Amen.
Until the Lord comes back. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We're thankful to be saved, Lord. Thankful for a loving person who came to give us the gospel. And thank you for those who have studied the word of God, who have taught us the deep things of the Lord. And the fact that we have the Holy Spirit of God living within us, that we can study these things out as well. And know and understand that the Bible teaches us these great concepts that we need to learn. And really, this doctrine, the reprobate doctrine, is something that we can take with us. And it creates a greater love for the lost. Not for reprobates, but for the lost. Because that means we need to reach them before they become a reprobate. And I pray, God, that you would increase our love for lost people, increase our love for the brethren, but also increase our hatred for the sons of Belial, for reprobates, for homosexuals. And I pray, God, that you'd help us to do so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.